Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. My name's Terry Barber. Jess Romero's out for the day. He'll be back tomorrow. I'll be leaving tomorrow to go to the Napa Institute. I'll be with Bishop Joseph Strickland until the weekend, so I'll be out the rest of the week, but you pray for me. I'm going there to make some good contacts, and it'll be a nice little retreat for me. Also, we have Father Charles Murr with us today, filling in for Jess. Father Murr, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Thank you, Terry. How you doing?
Well, I'm blessed. We're so blessed to have you on so many times this week, and we appreciate your time.
I hope you're not getting tired of me.
No, actually, Father,
seriously,
it's been fun. And today's going to be another interesting show, and I'll tell you why. We've been talking about all kinds of issues in the church, but today I'm going to talk about your soul, our listener's soul, my soul, Father's soul. In other words, our universal call to holiness. And what's that all about? And how are we to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus in these tumultuous times that we're living in? So we're going to talk about that. But before we get to the topic of the universal call to holiness, which is really a great call for all of us for conversion, we're going to go to the readings of today's gospel, which is Matthew chapter 12. Open up your Bibles for some soul food. Matthew chapter 12, verse 46 to 50. I'm going to ask Father Murr if he could proclaim that reading and give us an explanation on it, Father.
We'll do our best.
Yeah, let's do it.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Your spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
While Jesus was speaking to the crowds, his mother and his brothers appeared outside, wishing to speak with him. Someone told him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside, standing, asking to speak with you." But Jesus said in reply to the one who had told him, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my heavenly Father is my brother, my sister, my mother." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Wow. Short and sweet.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. The explanation, first of all, I'm not going to give the explanation about the brothers of Jesus.
Right.
I think everybody knows
that. We do.
Anybody who's been listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio for more than 3 days knows that.
That's right.
This explanation, right? They were probably cousins or mm-hmm. relatives of our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is this. I always got the following from this gospel. Christ came, the second person of the Blessed Trinity became man to take things out of the order of blood. In other words, blood was very, very, very important, not only to the Jews, but to every civilization. Blood meant who you're related to. Mm-hmm. Blood were the sacrifices offered to the true God, in the case of the Jews, and to false gods, in the case of the pagans. Blood had everything to do with everything. What our Lord came down to do was to change that whole mentality. He gave his blood. He gave every last drop of his blood so that things would be taken out of that order of blood. What do I mean by that? No longer is my brother or sister or mother or father those people who are related to me by blood. My brothers and sisters, mother and father, all of my relatives are the believers, our fellow Catholics, our fellow Christians, our people who are doing the will of God. Mm. In those people, I see my mother and my brother and my sisters and all the rest. I'm no longer limited only to that strict sense of family in the order of blood, in the line of blood. It's out of that. And Christ is saying this. He said, a man comes up and says to him, your mother and your brothers are outside. They'd like to have a word with you. Well, evidently he was doing something more important. He was speaking to his disciples. And he turns and he said, to use this very interruption as a lesson, he says to him, who are my mother and my brothers? What do you mean they're waiting for me outside? They're right here in front of me. That order of blood is not what counts. Now, when he says that, let me just underscore this. Mm-hmm. In no way is he showing any disrespect for the Blessed Virgin Mary. In no way is he disrespecting her. Why am I so sure of that? Well, first of all, he wouldn't do that. Right? It's against the commandment. He's never sinned, and he wouldn't sin by offending his own mother. And secondly, who is the person, the first person in this new order that's out of the sense of the line of blood? Who is the first person to become the first Christian? Mm-hmm. Who is the first person to hear the word of God? And her reception of the word of God, she was in such a perfect state.
Our Lady, yeah.
To receive that word of God, that in her, as Fulton Sheen so beautifully says in one of his talks, in her, the word not only remained in the intellect and even in the will, in her it was so profound. Just imagine this for a moment. In her, the word of God was so profound that it took flesh.
Amen.
I mean, this is
powerful.
It really is amazing. Huh? So when Christ is saying, who is my mother? Well, who hears the word of God and puts it in practice is my mother, right? Well, right. Who heard the word of God and not only put it in practice, but gave it life? The Blessed Virgin Mary. So this is what Christ is saying. This is what I get out of it. And I've seen some of the commentaries by some of the fathers of the church and some of the saints, and I'm so glad that they agree with me.
Well, Father, that was a good explanation, and that kind of ties into our theme, the universal call to holiness, which is doing the will of God in each of our lives. So thank you for that. Let's bring the smartest guy into the room. It's not Father Charles Murr. It's Archbishop Fulton Sheen. Yes, full Sheen ahead.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And Father Murr and I both have a great love for Fulton Sheen. And so Bishop Sheen is on that train. Picture he's coming in, but he's got a guest next to him. And the guest is the venerable Pope Pius XII. And back in March 23rd, 1952, he said this, and I thought it was appropriate for us today. What is that, 70 years later? Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
He says, the accusations of the oppressive rigidity made against the church by the new morality, in reality, attacks in the first place the adorable person of Christ himself. Father Murr, I know you have a great love for the venerable Pope Pius XII. Tell me what your thoughts are on that quote. I'd like to hear that.
Well, first of all, it's true. I have a great love and devotion
to
Pius XII. I also have great love and devotion for Fulton J. Sheen.
Amen. Two men of the same pod.
I mean, these two men were just they were spots of real light.
Yeah.
We were growing up.
Sure.
It's amazing. You know, my world was so small when I was a kid. I was born in St. Paul, Minnesota, and on one, if you ever get to St. Paul, on one hill in St. Paul, we have the Cathedral of St. Paul.
I've been there.
And on another hill, right near it, is the Capitol.
Yes.
One is a replica of St. Peter's Basilica, and the other one, more or less, and the other one is a replica of the United States Capitol in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, I thought that President Eisenhower lived right over on that hill. And that Pius XII lived over here.
Of course,
right? That was my whole world, and it made perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
And one time, Fulton J. Sheen came to town.
Oh boy!
And he walked into the cathedral, and we were there to see him come in.
Wow.
I must have been seven or eight years old. But he came into the cathedral, and he preached. It was standing room only, But to me, Pius XII and Fulton J. Sheen were these great spots of light. And to tell you the truth, I pray for the canonization. I pray
both.
To see the canonization of both.
Amen.
Like you, Terry.
Yes.
You and I both know where they are.
Sure. Absolutely. This is
if they're not in heaven, I'm going to hang it up.
Oh, we're in trouble.
I don't have a chance.
Yeah, really.
So those souls are so precious, and they were such fantastic guiding lights.
That's right.
To get people to come to the truth. Pius XII. If you take any just a few minutes of your time, and read his encyclical on the mystical body of.
Oh yeah, that's classic.
To read this encyclical, it's absolutely inspiring.
Yeah.
And when you listen to Fulton J. Sheen, you can read Sheen, and Sheen is wonderful to read. But to listen to him is to be just blown away.
I'm here with Father Charles Murr. We come back. I got some good news in New Mexico regarding a bishop and Holy Communion. You won't want to miss that good news story. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Stay with us, family. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. You heard that little commercial about Sex and Honor that's taking place here on the 7th of August. Mary Danielle, my wife, Dr. Louis Sandoval, and Sherry Bellinger, she'll be here. She, you know what's interesting about her, that she starred in a film. She's done a lot of media stuff, and I think it's going to be interesting to hear about her. She actually redid that Parent Trap. Remember that movie, everybody? Well, she actually did the up version one. So anyhow, it'll be a good day. You can get it registered by just calling 877-526-2151 or go onto our website, vmpr.org. So one more time, vmpr.org, and you can register online. My good news story. I always like to have a good news story because you know what, folks? Look at the world right now. there's a lot of problems right now, right? Well, I want to highlight a bishop, Bishop Peter Bagcellino of Las Cruces, New Mexico, because what did he do? He denied communion to a pro-abortion Democrat. And I think that took guts, and he looks like he's in his middle 70s, so he's probably getting ready to retire. And I thought, man, he did a great job because he implemented the perennial teachings of the church. And I wish I could say every bishop is doing that, but it's not the case. So let's pray a prayer of thanksgiving for Bishop Peter in Las Cruces, Nevada, or New Mexico, and pray that he will continue to be serving his family with love and devotion. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary,
Mother of God.
Pray for us sinners.
Now and at the hour of our death.
Amen. Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us.
Folks,
we every Thursday night here at the Sacred Heart Chapel in downtown Covina, we pray from 7 to 9 for that bishop like this, Bishop Peter Bagcellino. He is a bishop who we're praying for. All bishops, popes, everybody. Because from 7 to 9, we're down on our knees praying before the Blessed Sacrament because we know the church needs our prayers. But you know what else the church needs, Father Murr? It needs saints. There's a crisis of saints in the church. And how do we become a saint? Well, Father Murr, I hit you up and said, let's talk about the universal call to holiness. And I mentioned to you that I pointed out that, you know, we have potentially a problem in the church where people are going to say, well, the church is so corrupt. Look at the sexual abuses. Look at what's going on in the Holy See right now. They got this Father James Martin running around. Forget it. I'm out of here. Well, you know what? Not so fast. And I'll tell you why. Because you individually, our listener right now, you're part of the solution. Because every action is like a blank check. If Christ's name is on it, it has infinite value. So like I mentioned earlier, picking up a pin can be meritorious for the salvation of souls. So this isn't the time to run. This is the time to get holy or die trying. So I mentioned that. And then, Father Murr, you mentioned something about St. Ignatius of Loyola in regards to the issue of offering up our actions, our works, our joys to God. So I'd like to hear what you have to say about that issue.
No, you and I were talking before about quietism.
That's right.
Which is a heresy. And quietism, just briefly and in short, it's a heresy concerning an attitude of don't do anything, God will take care of everything.
Right.
That's it. Right.
Yep. Nailed it.
Sometimes when I listen to certain Buddhists talking. Whether they're having discussions or something, sometimes that's an attitude they take.
Yep.
And some Eastern religions, Oriental religions particularly, it's do nothing, God will take care of everything.
Right.
Christianity is not that way at all. It's not that way at all.
Nope.
It's not that God depends on us. He doesn't depend on anything. It's the need that we have to be active, to be proactive, to get involved. You know, Terry, this is kind of a personal story,
sure.
But I'll just tell it to you and our viewers and
absolutely
themselves, I'm sure, right?
Yeah.
No, but many years ago, we had a conflict in our family,
mm-hmm.
right? And I just took the attitude, I had so many other things going on in life that I rationalized. And this was my own fault. I took the attitude, you know what? I'm not getting involved any longer. That I can't deal with this, that, and the other thing. It'll take care of them itself, the
mm-hmm.
problem. Well, the long and the short of it is that the problem evolved and turned into an absolute tragedy.
Oh, no.
Right? But, you know, well, the point was, to some degree, it became that tragedy because I refused to act. Okay?
Yeah.
And this is exactly the situation that we're all in. We can do the ostrich things, put our heads in the sand,
yeah,
and ignore problems. And we can even this quietism heresy, which is a heresy, was we elevate that attitude to a pious state when it's really not. We think we're holy because we're going to leave everything to God. No, that's not it. And this is where the words of St. Ignatius come in, to that attitude. And I love these words.
Mm-hmm.
St. Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Jesuits, mm-hmm. as opposed to other St. Ignatius, said succinctly and beautifully, we must know that everything depends on God. Let me repeat that.
Yeah.
We must know that everything depends on God. And we must act as though everything depended on us.
Yep.
Right? It's that combination that is really the Christian ideal. It is the Catholic ideal. It's the ideal that all the saints have talked about. Even the saints who are in cloisters, St. Teresa the Great, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Teresita, the people who, men and women who have lived in cloisters, St. John of the Cross, even they in a cloistered life understand that they're active. They're not passive.
Right.
What they're doing, they're part of the world that needs sanctifying, and they are doing that themselves. So it's not a running away from. It's a running toward. It takes a little bit of sorting out, but that's what it is. And, you know, this active passive.
Yes.
We have a great example of that in one gospel, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Where our Lord is coming to Bethania, and he's going to see the tomb, I guess. Well, he had other intentions, of his friend Lazarus,
mm-hmm.
who had died 4 days before. And Lazarus's two sisters, Mary and Martha, are there mm-hmm. waiting for him. And both of them have a little bit, they're both in love with him. They both think he's the greatest because he is. And they're both looking forward to him being there. But they both have different attitudes. One is more active and one is more passive.
Right.
Right? So you've got Martha is the active one, is the active one. And she's saying, excuse me. I get the two of them mixed up. Is it one of them is home? Martha and Mary are the mm-hmm. two sisters. I get them always mixed up. Mm-hmm. But and it's my favorite gospel for funerals. I don't know why I get them mixed up. I think it's old age. Anyway, one is at home doing the housework, preparing for the Lord to come and see. The other one is out with people. And the one at home says to our Lord, when he gets there, tell my sister to help me. I'm all here alone and this, that, and the other thing. Oh, she's busy doing the housework. The other sister is sitting at the feet of Jesus, right? And our Lord says to her, your sister's chosen the better part and it will not be taken away from her. What is the better part? The better part is to be sitting at the feet of the Lord. Amen. There's no question. But there's another part that's also needed, and that's the active part. When our Lord was there, certainly he ate, certainly he drank. Well, somebody had to prepare that. And this was the other sister. Both active and passive go into the Christian Catholic life.
Absolutely. And, Father Murr, what you just said made me think of Fulton Sheen again. He said, every soul in the world has a price tag on it. And since many cannot or will not pay the price themselves, others must do it for them. He says, there is probably no other way to account for the conversion of some soul than the fact that in this world, as in the next, their parents, their relatives, their friends interceded to God and won for them the prize of everlasting life. And that quote right there, Father Murr, reminds me of Our Lady of Fatima's comment saying that souls are going to hell because no one is there to pray and make sacrifices. So what you made, your point is, again, it comes down to quietism. Yeah, you can't just sit back and let everything go. You have to be a player. You have to be part of the solution. And the solution, the best thing we can do for Holy Mother, the Church, the best thing we can do for the entire world is to live a holy life, a life centered on Jesus Christ. And I think that's what St. Ignatius is saying. That's what the saints have told us, Teresa of Avila, John of the Cross. It's all about us living, doing the will of God, which we talked about at the beginning of this show. And when we come back from the break, Father Murr, I'd like to put things into some practical applications for moms and dads that are listening. Could be married couples, but unmarried people, single people, whoever. How do we connect with being a player in the sense of a partaker in the work of a mission of Jesus Christ? And I think that you can do that for us here on the Terry and Jesse Show. Folks, I want to remind you, Jesse will be back tomorrow. I'm going to be up in Napa for a Napa conference. When I come back, it'll be the weekend, so I won't see and talk with you until Monday. But you're in good hands with Jesse. And I want to thank all of you who have been supporting us through this summer and also remind you that we're trying to purchase a electric power plant where we can be off the grid in our studio. So when California starts losing its power, we want to be prepared that it won't take us off the air. We're going to have a battery pack put in with our solar panels already installed, so that we'll be ahead of the game and we'll be able to continue to broadcast what we do here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. If you'd like to donate some money to that cause, we got about 3,000. The total is going to be about 8,500. Just go online to vmpr.org or call me even after the show. Call me. I got Bishop Strickland's hour, but call me at 661-972-7872. I'd love to chat with you. If you even have a question, I'd be happy to do that. I do that pretty much all day long. Wonder why? You give your phone number out on the radio, you'll get calls. We're going to come right back with Father Charles Murr Terry Barber for Virgin Most Powerful Radio with the Terry and Jesse Show. Stay with us.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. Jesse will be back tomorrow. I'm going to be out of town until the end of the week at the Napa Institute. Father Charles Murr is with us. We're talking about the most important thing in life, and that is how to save your soul. Because remember, Fulton Sheen always said, if souls are saved, everything is saved. If souls aren't saved, nothing is saved. Now, he's backing that up because the code of canon law says that everything we do in the church should be with the ultimate view of saving souls, not saving the planet. I'm sorry, but as much as that is important to recycle, I recycle. I got solar panels on my roof, but that won't get you to heaven. What will get you to heaven is leading a holy life and living that and doing the will of God. Father Murr, how about some ideas for practical ideas of family life and people who need some action items of what we can be doing? How do we stay in love with Jesus in spite of the humanity of the church? That's a big one.
Let's start at something that you've mentioned a couple times already.
Yeah.
Let's start with the soul.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Yep.
That used to be a given. I mean, it used to be everyone understood that he or she had a soul. I don't know that's such a given any longer.
I would agree, unfortunately.
We put everything in doubt, even that. The soul, and there's something too that I want to mention that I'm finding very interesting because I'm writing a new book.
Good.
This is not a commercial for a book. This is not a plug for a book. But the book is called Perhaps Love. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm doing is looking at the dynamics of love. And I start with the soul.
Sure.
That's what I'm beginning with, right? But I immediately was struck with something that you're going to think that this is just crazy, that I found that I should have known. That I studied psychology with, mm-hmm. with Dr. Paul Witz at NYU, right?
Yes.
Well, when I was doing this paper, I found that soul in Greek, that's where it comes from, it's psyche. Like psychology,
mm-hmm.
is the study of the soul, right? People change that now. The study of the mind, the study of the this, the study of the that. It's the study of the soul, of psyche. But the word psyche has two different meanings. But the same word is used.
Mm-hmm.
One is soul, and the other thing of all things is butterfly.
Really?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Right. And the artist that I've got working for me is doing the cover of the book. There's a butterfly on the cover.
Interesting.
And I said, I don't want it to look too flaky.
Yes. Said, butterflies
but
and bananas.
But I want to get to this idea of the butterfly.
Yeah.
And the both terms were actually, they were created by and used by Plato, but it was Aristotle who named the butterfly psyche.
Wow.
Who gave that word to it. So it's still in Greek, means both things. And I'm looking at the reasoning behind Aristotle doing that. And I think it's because, and it has to be because, butterfly transforms, it metamorphosizes. It's got a change in its whole nature. It becomes something else. It actually goes into what the Greeks at the time considered into death in the cocoon, and then it resurrects.
Mm, well, now I get it.
In a glorious, beautiful state.
Sure.
So the two terms are used for the soul.
Mm-hmm.
The point of all of this is we have one. Each one of us has one. It's the fount of it's the life source. It also means the Latins used the same word. They adopted into Latin from the Greek psyche. In Latin, it becomes anima, the anima, Remember the beautiful communion hymn, Anima Christi,
Anima Christi, of course.
Soul of Christ, Anima. Mm-hmm. And we have, when you walk into video shop, I'm dating myself already, video stores. There aren't any video stores anymore.
Nope.
But when you used to walk in, there were sections called anime, mm-hmm. right? Which were animated cartoons.
Right.
Animated. It means to the cartoon, it gave a soul. Right.
Yep.
And what does the word mean? It means movement. Anything that can move on its own, with its own power, has a soul. So people will often ask you, they'll say, "Well, do dogs have souls? Do plants have souls? This, that, and the other thing."
Mm-hmm.
If it can move on its own power, it has a soul. So do dogs have souls? Yes, they do. Does a cucumber have soul? Yes, it does. A plant has soul. What they don't have are immortal souls. Okay?
Right.
Does man have a soul? Yes. His soul is immortal. It lives forever. The dogs does not. The plants does not. Right? That's not their purpose in love. Life is to live forever. Man's purpose is to live forever. And since we have that, I'm going to tell you just quickly, Terry.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Nobody knows or experiences his soul really truly until he loves.
There you go.
And I'm not just talking of romantic notions here. I mean, until he loves. One of the most beautiful, powerful things that I witnessed in my life was in Mexico. I won't get into the whole thing. It doesn't matter. I was caught out in the middle way out in the country, rural, with a thunderstorm. Couldn't get back. And at the same time, the woman who's making us dinner, who has eight or nine children, she decides at that moment to give birth.
Oh my gosh!
So we're out there. We have no electricity. It was chaos. Anyway, the long and the short of it is, unwittingly and against anything that's rational, I'm helping her deliver a baby.
Wow.
along with her oldest daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Sure.
The husband is pacing outside. I don't know what he's doing. Anyway, but I saw for the first time. First of all, I'd never seen a human being born.
Yeah, it's magnificent.
And to me, that was
yeah.
It was just, I can't describe it. Yeah. It's remarkable. It's just remarkable. But something as remarkable happened, and I saw this, as remarkable as the birth itself was putting the child to his mother's breast.
Yes.
Because that infant baby, just seconds old.
Yes.
Looked up, I'll never forget it, looked up into the eyes of his mother. She looked into the eyes of her son.
Wow.
And there was an explosion of love that took place. I saw it. It just, there was
powerful.
It was like welding something. It was just boom, it hit.
Yes.
And I thought to myself, this kid, this infant, is saying to himself, he's looking at his mother and saying, "Oh, you're the one. You're the one who's carried me for 9 months.
Yeah.
It's your voice I kept hearing.
Yep.
You were the one who protected me. You this, you that.
Yeah.
And now you're nourishing me." There was this instant understanding. And but to my point,
yes,
he was just introduced to his first love.
Yeah, well said.
That
story.
The child is first introduced to his first love in life.
Yeah.
And you know that, and I know it. You never lose that. You never lose that love for your mother. You can every human being has it. Everyone who has a mother knows what love is because of her. Unfortunately, There are bad mothers. There are bad fathers.
Sure.
There are bad sons and daughters. So it's not perfect.
Right.
However, the intention of God was that it be perfect.
Yeah.
And that was the idea of it. But I saw that explosion happen, that miracle.
Awesome.
Of that love. It's fantastic. And that child was moving his arms and his legs and crying and moving on his own. And you know what else?
Tell me.
I'm thinking to myself, now I'm reading too much into this infant's actions, but maybe not. I don't think so. I think he also finally realized why he had arms and why he had legs. What they were all crunched up inside the womb. He never understood what they were for. All of a sudden, he's stretching them out.
Yep.
It's just magnificent. And here's my crazy thing. I don't, where am I going with this? It does have a point, Terry.
I think I know where you're going. Go ahead. Tell me.
St. Augustine, I thought this was my original idea, right? It wasn't. I was told by a good nun who taught me in fourth grade that I would never have an original idea in all my life. And she, up to now, she's been right. But I found it later on in St. Augustine. I'm losing.
Father, let me just jump in and say something.
Yeah.
Because you'll get your thought back. What I was thinking you were going is applying that explosion story to the childbirth of Jesus and Mary.
No.
Nope. Okay.
No.
Well, that was just a thought.
Got it back. No. that would be wonderful too. But
where are you going? Okay, tell me. I'm not reading your mind, obviously.
I'm going to death.
Oh.
I'm going to death.
Okay.
I'm going to death because, like, that child didn't know why he had eyes for 9 months.
Sure.
Didn't know why he had hands, arms, legs, nothing.
Right.
But the next day, I've told you I helped this woman give birth, right?
Sure.
The next day, I'm at the Knights of Columbus having coffee after Mass with my good friend, Dr. Juan Martin del Campo, great man. And I said to him, you know, I told him what had happened the night before, and I was very tired and everything else. And I said, it seemed to me that this kid was fighting being born. More when we get back.
Absolutely.
Don't you forget.
No, that's a good story. We won't forget that story. Yeah, no way. When we come back, we have another segment with Father Charles Murr about the universal call to holiness, which is what we're all called to be, get to heaven. We'll be back with more. Stay with us, family.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. Jesse will be back tomorrow. As I said, I'll be gone all week. I'm going to be at the Napa Institute with Bishop Joseph Strickland. Bishop Strickland will be on right after this segment here every Tuesday. So for those who want to enjoy a really great bishop of our church, every Tuesday at noontime here on Virgin Mary's Powerful Radio, you can do that. Father Charles Murr is here with us. We're talking about holiness because, as I said before, if souls are saved, everything is saved. If souls aren't saved, nothing is saved. And I mention this because people don't care how much you know, right, until they know how much you care. My biggest concern right now is not about global warming. Really, it isn't. You're shocked, huh? No, my biggest concern is getting to heaven, my family to get to heaven. You're part of my family. So every single broadcast, my question comes to me, what am I doing to help somebody fall deep in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church? Father Murr, you just gave us a beautiful story of a mother and a baby, and that connection was powerful. Again, talking about holiness and about individuals today, lay people, are living in a secular world that acts like God doesn't exist. What recommendations do you have for our listener to really stay focused on what's most important in life?
Well, let me just finish this circle.
Sure.
All right?
Absolutely.
So the next day I'm having coffee with Dr. Juan.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Campo,
that's right. Yep.
And I said to him, this is the old time doctor, right? Mm-hmm. Half of the people in town, he helped their mothers give birth.
Mm-hmm.
I said, it seemed to me that when that baby was being born, doctor, I sort of detected, it took 3 hours for him to be born. Mm-hmm. It was as if he was fighting us,
yeah,
not helping us.
was it as he said, and the doctor looked right up at me. He said, well, what is it you don't understand? And I said, well, it didn't seem like he was too eager to be born. He said, well, why would he be?
Exactly. Yeah,
and I said,
I get it.
I said, what do you mean? He said, you're asking him, birth is asking him, life is asking him to be pushed out of the only place he knows.
That's right.
You know, it might be very crowded to you and cumbersome to you, the womb. It's very small and you're crunched up, but it's all he knows. That is his universe.
Right.
That's all he knows.
Right.
And all of a sudden, something is pushing him out of the known. And yes, there's a fear. Yes, he'll battle to stay in. Right?
Sure.
And all of a sudden, it occurred to me, I had helped many people already at that time die. I used to love when they would call me to help someone die, not just to hear the confession and go away, but to be with them.
Wow.
And the family,
mm-hmm.
and to help, to actually help them die. The
yes.
Process. And I told you this before, Terry, there are two kinds of people that I know
yes.
in death.
Yes.
Those who know Christ and those who don't know him.
Well said.
And there are two ways of dying, with Christ or without him. And I've been in both.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
But the people, even the people who know Christ, this is what I never understood. Many of them experienced a fear of dying.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept thinking, why would a Christian be fearful of dying? If we all of our life we're saying we want to get to heaven, the salvation of our soul, we can't wait to be with God in the communion of saints.
Mm-hmm.
And at the moment of death, there's this fear. And all of a sudden, I remembered this baby.
Wow.
Who was fighting not to be born, not to leave what he knew,
right.
The womb. And now I'm helping this old person who doesn't want to leave this bigger womb
yes.
of the world.
Sure.
Because he's afraid of what he doesn't know, right?
Right.
But it's like that baby didn't understand why it had eyes or legs or fingers until it was born. I said, you're going to experience why you were born to begin with
yeah.
in the fullness of heaven. Now, what my point is that we know that we have a soul when we're born.
Sure.
And we know we have a soul when we die
mm-hmm.
because we're fighting not to leave what we know.
Right.
To save that soul, to save that life.
Yep.
Your question is, what do we do in the meantime?
Yeah.
Right? It's like a friend of mine said to me, he said, you go to a cemetery and there's something that all of these graves have in common. And I said, what would that be? He said, no, you'll find it on the tombstones, on the markers. Mm. I said, what's that? He said, that dash. Is it born 1920, dash, died 1975?
Mm-hmm.
They all have that dash, all of them,
yep.
all of them.
That's right.
That's their life.
Wow.
That's their life. That dash is their life. So we get back to that. What do we do about that dash? What are we doing with that soul between life, between birth and death? And that is what you're asking.
That's right.
So I want to set up, first of all, there is a soul. We've
yep.
got that established.
Yep, we sure did.
What do we do with it? That soul is made for many things, but principally to love.
Yeah.
And in love, we get to know God. There's nobody who really has ever loved a human being who doesn't know something about God. Nobody.
Right.
And if you give me 10, 15 minutes with that person,
sure.
just reflecting and examining his or her human love
mm-hmm.
with the person loved, we can deduce something about the love of God. You're to save your soul. You're to save your soul in acts of love, constant acts of love in life. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And there are plentiful. They're plentiful. They're every day we have all sorts of occasions to love, to show our love, to show generosity, to be forgiving, to pat somebody on the head, pat somebody on the back, to smile. All tiny things. You mentioned something about Fulton J. Sheen and salvation.
Right.
And one of the things that most struck me, Terry,
mm-hmm.
when I was making retreats with Fulton J. Sheen, not in person, but on tape,
one of the things that he brought up was about people getting to heaven who don't exactly know God, who don't exactly know Christ. Mm-hmm. Is there any hope for them? Or is everyone just going to hell, right? Yeah. He said, no, he said suffering is a participation in the cross, whether you know it or not, yeah. Whether the person suffering is cognizant of that or not, it is a participation in the cross of Christ, in the passion of Christ. And Fulton Sheen said something that struck me just, I loved this, but it struck me as something fantastically new and wonderful. He said, can you imagine heaven?
Yep.
And a socialite woman from Park Avenue finds herself in heaven due to an African who suffered famine in Nigeria.
Yeah.
And her salvation, both of their salvation, is due to that suffering. We're being saved. We're saving each other. This
yes.
is the whole idea.
Yeah, we're in it
this
together.
Is why? Yep. This is what we're in it together. That's yep. exact. And it's why when you began with quietism, right?
Yeah,
sort
sure
of running away from the problem.
Right.
No, you can't.
Nope.
You can't do that. You're not going to do. You can't do that and participate in somebody else's salvation and expect to be participant in their vice versa. It's not going to work that way if you're off burying your head in the sand. You've got to be active. And don't think that you have to do these heroic things. Simple things.
Amen.
The saints will tell you this. Read the saints. The simple things. One of the great things, and I'll end with this because we're coming to the end.
Sure.
Well, now we've got a couple of minutes. But one of the things that most struck me about St. Teresa of the Child Jesus, when she died, now, and hers was the simple way, right?
Right.
Simple things. That was the way to perfection.
Yep.
We don't have to be heroic things and save nations. And No. Save your neighbor. Help your neighbor.
Right.
When she died and they read her testament, one of the sisters in the convent, and St. Teresa died when she was 24 years old, right?
That's right, 24.
And she was, right? Mm-hmm. And she died, and you know what was so beautiful?
Tell me.
I read a French author. She died of tuberculosis.
Right.
Which in those days in France was called the lover's disease.
Wow, I didn't know that. Never heard that.
It was like you would through kissing, right?
Yeah.
They would call it the lover's disease, and that's what she died of. She always asked God to die of love.
Wow, what a connection.
Lover's disease, right? but when she died,
yeah.
when she died, one of the sisters read her, I guess her journal, her diary, and discovered that she was not Teresa's best friend. All of the years they were in the convent together, this particular nun thought she was Teresa's best friend, the closest person that she had. Sure. They were bosom buddies. And when she died, she realized what a sacrifice it cost Teresa, because Teresa didn't even like her.
Oh, what a story. What does that tell you?
Like,
oh, my goodness. Right? Is that the one nun that banged the rosary beads when she was getting irritated? No, that's not that one, huh? Okay, just a joke.
Probably.
Yeah. But you see how every action can become a blank check. You
that's
raise
it.
That up.
That's it.
Yeah, beautiful.
That's it. So, and I mean, these things are fantastic stories, but they're not just stories. These are situations that people turned into good things.
Yes.
And we're all asked to do that.
Right.
And that's it. Now, there's a time too, and unfortunately we don't have a lot of time with this, that the soul, your soul, needs to get away from people.
Mm-hmm.
Needs to get away from the world, needs to get away from the rush and the right. chaos of everything going around, and needs some time for self. We all need time for self.
That's right. Well
and
said.
That's called prayer.
Exactly.
Are we off the air?
We're off. Hey, without prayer. You know what did Fulton Sheen say, Father Murr? about prayer. Some people look on prayer like an aviator looks on a parachute. He hopes he doesn't have to use it. Well, we sure don't want that. Father Murr, how about a final blessing for our listeners?
Absolutely, absolutely. Benedictio Dei Omnipotente, Padre, Filii et Spiritus Sancti, descendat super vos et manet in aeternum. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you all. And
thanks.
Pardon me for taking up so
much. Oh, no, we wanted to hear this about the soul. Father, we have to talk about the soul. What else is there, right? That's really important in life. It's not the ball games. You got it. Thanks again, Father. Folks, remember what state we should be living in? The state of grace. That's what we talk about here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. May God richly bless you and your family. And up next, the Bishop Strickland Show. You won't want to miss it. This is a straight shooting bishop. We need those today. God bless you and your family.